This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower and this is ATIS. Yesterday, August 13, 2026, the United States Army made a decision that changes how the next generation of Army aviators will learn to fly. And if you follow rotorcraft, or if you've ever wondered how the military trains the people who go on to fly Black Hawks and Apaches, this one is worth your attention. Here's what you need to know. The Army has selected M1 Support Services to run its Flight School Next program. That's the effort to overhaul primary rotary wing training at Fort Novazil down in Alabama. And the headline inside the headline is the aircraft. The Robinson R-66 is coming in to replace the UH-72 Lakota as the initial training helicopter. Let that settle for a second, because it's a big shift. Before we go further, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about why this matters. For years, the Army trained its brand new pilots on the UH-72 Lakota. That's a twin-engine, roughly 7,000-pound helicopter built by Airbus. It's a capable machine, but it's also a big, expensive airframe to be putting a student in on day one, when that student is still learning which hand does what. The Robinson R-66 is a different animal entirely. It's a single-engine, 5-seat light turbine helicopter. It's powered by a Rolls-Royce turbine engine. It's lighter, it's simpler, and critically, it is dramatically cheaper to operate per hour. This is the same basic family as the R-44 you see all over the civilian training world, just with a turbine up top instead of a piston. So here's the whole story the headline doesn't tell. This is the Army moving toward a training model that looks a lot more like the civilian world. Start students on a light, forgiving, lower-cost aircraft. Build the fundamentals, hover work, auto rotations, basic airmanship, then move them up to the heavy iron later in the pipeline. It's the same logic that puts a civilian student in a Robinson or a Cessna 172 before anyone hands them the keys to something bigger. And the cost piece is real. When you're training thousands of aviators, the difference between a twin-engine Airbus and a single-engine Robinson hour after hour adds up to serious money. The Army has been under pressure to bring flight training costs down while keeping the pipeline full. This is a direct answer to that pressure. Now, this affects you if you're anywhere near the civilian helicopter world. Think about it. If the Army is buying a fleet of R-66s and standing up a training operation around them, that's a significant vote of confidence in that airframe. It means parts, support, and a whole ecosystem of experience building up around the type. Robinson has been steadily pushing the R-66 as a serious utility and training platform, and a military primary trainer contract is about as strong an endorsement as an aircraft can get. It also means something for the instructor pipeline. Programs like this need a lot of instructor pilots. That has ripple effects across the civilian helicopter instruction world, where the Army and the civilian side have always traded talent back and forth. Let me flag something as my read on this, not as reported fact. I'd expect this transition to take time. Standing up a new training aircraft, writing the syllabus around it, qualifying the instructors, building the maintenance backbone, none of that happens overnight. So if you're picturing a flight line full of R-66s at Fort Novazil next month, temper that. These contract transitions play out over years, not weeks. What about the Lakotas that are being replaced? That's the open question I'd be watching. The UH-72 fleet doesn't just evaporate. Those airframes get reassigned to other missions. Utility work, medical evacuation support, National Guard roles, and so on. Where exactly they land tells you something about the Army's broader plans for that fleet, and that's a thread worth following in the coming months. Now step back and look at the bigger picture, because this fits a pattern. Across military aviation, there's been a real push towards smarter, cheaper, more efficient training. The Air Force has been rethinking pilot training with new technology and new aircraft. The Navy has its own modernization efforts, and now the Army is making a clear statement. The old model of training everyone on big, expensive airframes from the start is giving way to something more layered and more cost-conscious. For the general aviation community, that matters because military training trends have a way of flowing downhill. The techniques, the technology, the aircraft themselves eventually show up in the civilian world. A generation of Army aviators trained on turbine Robinsons is a generation that will carry that experience into civilian cockpits, into instruction, into the industry, for decades. So here's the bottom line. The Army picked M1 Support Services to run Flight School Next. The Robinson R-66 is in, the UH-72 Lakota is out as the primary trainer, and the whole thing points toward a leaner, more civilian-style approach to teaching people how to fly helicopters. It's a smart move on paper. The proof, as always, will be in how the transition actually goes. My thanks to the aviationist for the reporting on this one. You can always find us at radiohangar.com. This is Tower. Keep an eye on this one, because how the Army trains its pilots today shapes who's flying tomorrow. I'll see you on the next ATIS.